Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, we're thrilled to spend some time in Colorado with former Denver Broncos general manager and longtime scout Ted Sundquist, back-to-back Super Bowl champ with the Broncos. And we'll start there, Ted. Thanks so much for joining us. How do you like this fit? John Elway goes out and gets Case Keenum for the Denver Broncos.
Well, Amy, you know, it's interesting. I think what John ended up doing is, you know, he sent out the feelers on the Cousins situation there. I think ultimately the Broncos had probably hoped that they could somehow land Cousins in Denver. But really, when you started, I think, crunching out the contract, and we talk about the ball dropping tonight for the new year, but really at the quarterback position, it started back when San Francisco signed Jimmy Garoppolo, and that $37 million that counted against the cap this year, so much front-end loaded guaranteed money that it really kind of set the market for quarterback, and it's going to make it extremely difficult for anybody that doesn't have the cap room. And at Denver right now, they're probably sitting around, what, 15, 16 in the league. Total cap room, I think, about $29 million. And I think when they started crunching the numbers and thinking about everything that they had to do beyond just quarterback, it looked like it wasn't going to fit. So in the end, I think Case Keenum was their second guy, a safe pick for them. They bring in a guy that, you know, believe it or not, will be going to his fourth team in only a seven-year career. And I did a little bit of homework, and there's only been one guy win a Super Bowl after kind of working his way through four teams. And I think you can figure out who that was. It was just this last year with Nick Foles, if you don't count the Eagles in the Chip Kelly era and him coming back around with Coach Peterson, fourth team and won a Super Bowl. But otherwise, we've never seen that before. So I think the Broncos thought, hey, here's a guy, he's been through the system, he can come in, he can assimilate into a locker room, he's shown that he can learn a playbook, and oh, by the way, when surrounded with some pretty good supporting cast members that he didn't have in some of those other situations, he can win some football games. And he did just that for Minnesota, coming off the bench and really not being the guy that anybody counted on.
What is your reaction to something that's almost unheard of? The Redskins let go of Kirk Cousins, but he now lands with the Vikings on a fully guaranteed three-year contract. Fully guaranteed. What we've heard is $84 million, Ted.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I got to be honest with you. I really am shocked. And every team has got to do what's best for them and what they feel like is best for their particular situation. But at the same time, we do talk a lot. And there, I won't say that there's collusion or collaboration with regards to contracts and whatnot, but you understand, you know, how the market is working, and there are certain things that kind of set the market, not only for one season, but, you know, years to come. And something like that is, you know, it becomes a dangerous precedent, I think. Football has tried very hard to stay away from fully guaranteed contracts like that. And it looks like the genie's out of the bottle. And the question now is can they cram it back in? There are a lot of cap guys in the NFL right now sweating. And my right-hand man, Mike Bloom, who was with me in Denver for a number of years, is up in Indianapolis. And I can tell you right now, he's not happy with that.
Is the danger of the guaranteed contract more in the restriction with the salary cap or the idea of what happens if a player gets hurt?
I think it's both. I mean, the fully guaranteed situation and the amount of salary cap that's got to be devoted just to one player and the percentage that chews up for you. And you're also gambling, especially when it's a player that's jumping from one system to another and changing teams, changing coaches, changing supporting cast like we talked about. What if it goes the opposite way and doesn't work for him?
Right.
And you've got a situation where a guy who had performed at one level comes in and for whatever reason can't assimilate, and now you've laid out your budget at the quarterback position, you know, for a good 3 or 4 years and chewed up quite a bit of cap room and now have difficulty trying to go and find a replacement for a guy like that. So Man, I tell you what. The other thing, too, is when you fully guarantee like that and you get into situations of having to, set aside that money, because fully guaranteed money that rolls over into another year has got to be accounted for. And there were a number of contracts that we did in Denver where, believe it or not, we were cash poor at times and had to structure the contract congruent with when the league would pay out dividends to the team or season ticket money was coming in. And you kind of had to take that into account of when we would actually have the cash to be able to pay for it.
Gosh.
And if we didn't have that cash, or if you set up a contract structure like that, it had to be, put in the bank and kind of sitting there for the best analogy.
Mm. Ted Sundquist is a longtime member of the Denver Broncos front office, was the general manager from 02 to 08. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. When you were part of the Broncos, you were one of those guys responsible for bringing in guys like John Lynch, who is now the general manager of the Niners and has been really active in his first job. What do you think of how he's doing so far in the Bay Area?
Well, I tell you what, I mean, he had a big job. He came in and they had really gutted that place. But he's got a really smart, good young head coach in Kyle Shanahan. I mean, I've known Kyle since he was a young kid. And growing up around football and around the great football minds that he's been able to be around, to have made a run to the Super Bowl. I mean, he brings everything to the table in San Francisco. And I also, I know Jed York. I interviewed for that San Francisco job way back when Jed first took over as one of the youngest owners in all of major sports. And he wants to win. And he's done a lot out there, to try to build up the 49ers as a business with the new stadium and the way they go about doing things. And I think, in the end, seeing some of the results after that Super Bowl run that they had just a few years ago with Kaepernick at quarterback, I don't think that set well with him. And so he wanted to get somebody that would come in, work with his coach, two guys be on the same page. John is new to the business, but an older guy and a guy who understands the league as a player and as well as a color analyst. And I think that's the way to go. I think being aggressive and being willing to take chances in the end pay off. And, it's going to be interesting and exciting to see San Francisco out in the NFC West this year.
One of the challenges of the NFL, because of the salary cap and that level playing field, so to speak, is keeping a good team together. The Patriots have managed to have a lot of interchangeable parts, but with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, they've continued to remain not just relevant but successful. They lose, or they will lose, several key pieces in free agency. How difficult is it? Because you were part of back-to-back Super Bowl champs. How difficult is it to try to keep a core together at the same time that these guys want to get paid after winning it all?
Yeah, it's really hard, Amy. I mean, when you've got young guys that have come up through the system and they've played for you, for a number of years based upon their draft contract, and if they're not a first rounder, they're a fourth rounder or a third rounder and kind of paid their dues. And then you're in a situation as a club where you've tried to stay at a really high level like the Patriots have. So you've gotten aggressive at times within free agency. You've re-signed some key components to your own club, but a lot of times there's just not a lot of leftover cap space to work these guys in. You hope to try to entice them to stay with the thoughts of, hey, winning a ring, and when your opportunity comes, we'll certainly take care of you. But you just can't do that all the time. But I'll say this, when you've got a Tom Brady, I think it's a lot easier to bring in talent from outside when you lose talent, because guys later in their careers or guys that maybe have a year or two left in their tank, and you see this all the time up in New England, want to come play for the Patriots, see what the magic is, and they know that they're going to have an opportunity to make a Super Bowl run as long as Brady's at quarterback.
Did it ever just suck to have to, in the business side of things, say goodbye to a player that you really respected or wish that you could keep and just couldn't do it?
No, I made the comment the other day to somebody that I hated every single cut that I had to make. I didn't sign a guy to a roster, and I know a lot of the fans won't believe this, but it's certainly true. I didn't sign a guy to our roster without thinking that there was some way that he could contribute. And eventually it becomes a number game. You can't bring 80 plus guys into training camp and hope that they're all going to stay. You got to get down to 53. But even if he's the 76th guy, somewhere in the back of my mind, I'm like, all right, he could possibly compete for, you know, that fifth or sixth spot in the defensive backfield. Or maybe we've got a guy who can rotate from outside to inside on the offensive line. Is this a guy who might be able to squeak in there? And so whether it was a high-profile veteran or a guy that we had drafted that had great hopes for, or even if it was just a college free agent who came into camp and then you kind of spoil his dream on the last cut day. I mean, they were all hard. They really were.
Mm. Seeing what the Cleveland Browns have at the top of their draft, which is number one and number four, and certainly John Dorsey's been really active since he got there, made some great trades already. But how critical is it from a general manager standpoint to get the quarterback that you want? Or if you're the Browns, maybe, I don't know, Ted, do you take Saquon Barkley and then think, we can get a quarterback somewhere else?
That's a really good question. I mean, we've gotten to the point now where if you look at the teams that are year in and year out, the contenders for a Super Bowl championship, they're the guys that are stable at quarterback. And they're
sure.
The guys that have that more or less these clubs have brought into their system, molded them within their organization, and built around them. The Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger. We talked about Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. You've got Matt Ryan now in Atlanta, where Atlanta's made a couple runs. I'm sure if we talked about a few more of them, you see that consistent factor at quarterback. And so, really, I think John knows that. He comes from Green Bay, and he saw how Ron Wolf put the teams together around Brett Favre there. And I think John's going to try to get the best player that he can in Cleveland at the quarterback position, someone they can rely on for a number of years, and then begin to build around him. If you try to do it the other way, extremely difficult. And that's why when I look at some of these free agent moves and people, Minnesota trying to put Cousins in, and place that piece of the puzzle into there, there's going to be a little bit of a growing pain period. He's got to learn the players. He's got to learn their system. He's got to learn how they do business. But the bet is that of all the guys that are out there, he's the one that will work best for Minnesota. Same thing in Denver. I'm thinking John's probably thinking, hey, we couldn't get Cousins, but given what we've got right now, I'd rather have Case Keenum, bring him, put him in that position, and begin to build around him. And that's what you've got to think about as a general manager. Get that guy, get the best one that I can, and begin to build around him.
Former Denver Broncos GM Ted Sundquist with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So even as you have continued to stay in football, you're kind of taking a different angle and working with a company called Sports VTS. And just in getting ready for our conversation, you kind of describe this quarterback simulator, which blows me away. What's the purpose? First of all, what's it like, and what's the purpose of this simulator?
Well, Amy, this actually is a result of just a problem that I ran into as a general manager, and that was a lot of good young college talent coming into NFL camps, getting stuck behind, established quarterbacks, and especially in the case of the Denver Broncos, let's say a John Elway, or when I had Jake Plummer over the years there, was difficult to find your second and your third team quarterbacks enough repetitions to truly develop. We talk about, I think, all the time to the fans, we're going to draft and develop this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing to go out on the practice field and to be in your shorts and throw, and you're not going to replicate full speed with a defense coming at you because you just don't want to put your guys at risk. And then at the same time, even to develop the quarterback, you got 21 other guys that really have to move around at full speed. You don't want to put them at risk. And so I thought about it, and I'm like, well, how can we create these reps? And I hearken back to my military days in the Air Force, and though I wasn't a pilot, a number of my teammates were. My roommate was a pilot. And we used, realistic simulators, flight simulators, to get into the cockpit actually as if you were sitting in that aircraft, all the same bells and whistles and switches and, the stick. And even the visuals are just amazing. And these guys really are training 60-40% cockpit to actual or simulator to actual cockpit. And I was like, hey, if we could build something like that for a quarterback, how cool would it be to put him up against the Philadelphia Eagles defense and have him go through, let's say on Monday, he didn't play at all on Sunday, but you ask him to come in and play a simulated game against your opponent from Sunday. And it won't even look the same as what happened on Sunday, but you'll be going up against the same defensive tendencies, same players, that sort of thing. But the problem was at that particular point in time, which is probably about early 2000s or so, virtual reality really hadn't come along, and graphics in video games. And so fast forward, everything is really kind of caught up, and we've been able now to integrate some of these best-in-class technologies in virtual reality from the military world, which has been using simulators for a number of years, and really putting together a system where a quarterback can come in, put on his helmet, immediately he's immersed in, let's say, the Superdome or the L.A. Coliseum, playing against a team with the exact same tendencies on first and 10 or third and short or whatever, the same speed over at corner, the same hard-hitting linebackers, and you've got to make those decisions and then actually throw a real football.
Wow.
And the football is tracked and then taken into the virtual world, and those players react to your throw. You complete it, and to make a first down, then you move up the field, and it's first and 10. If you don't, and second and 10, then that defense will adjust, and you've got to go up against them in a new situation and scenario. So I'm really excited. I think this is going to help the game at all levels. We're talking about being able to put these things out regionally and train high school quarterbacks, get them into some of the top universities across the country, and then certainly one day, you know, I'd love for this to be a staple in every NFL training facility. So.
Ooh.
A lot of work. We've been working on it for quite some time. I'm hoping to have this really out and going by 2019, but it's been a lot of fun. It's been a labor of love and a lot of fun.
Incredible technology. I'm glad that we were talking to you about it now, so we got the heads up. You can find Ted on Twitter at Ted_Sundquist. He's a former GM of the Denver Broncos, but was with the team for a long time in their scouting department. Also an Air Force assistant coach in his past and a veteran. So thank you for your service, sir. And thank you so much for your time. It's great to talk to you.
You as well. I mean, I appreciate the opportunity. I really do.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.